Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants.
I am Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. Welcome to this Monday show. UK Health Radio rocking it for you again this week. How's things? What's going on? Have you had a good weekend? We had our half term last week, so we managed to spend a bit of family time with the kids. 9 and 4 my two are now, so we went to the coast and just enjoyed a bit of fun time away from home. I hope you had a lovely time. I know some of you will be engaged in half term this week. I tell you what, though, I was glad that the kids went back to school today. I felt like I was having a bit of a break. I love them dearly, but they do take up a lot of energy. Anyway, as you know, I'm going to start this week off. We don't have a guest today, so I'm going to use this time just to share some interesting sustainability news, give you a bit of an update and bring you kind of up to speed with what's going on in the world. I thought I'd also, for those of you that might be relatively new to my show, I thought I'd give you a bit of a recap on, you know, some of my history, some of my life story, some of the amazing things that have happened in my life. And, you know, one of the reasons why I actually was given the privilege of hosting this show is because of some of my backstory. So I'll be sharing that with you. I'll also be playing a couple of my own songs. I'm still a signed recording artist, even though I'm 54 and don't get much time to go out and gig these days. I do get asked to make records. Those of you that have listened to the end of the show many times will have heard my track Save the World that I did with Greta Thunberg in order to raise money for Fridays for Future MAPA, which is the most affected people and areas, the people around the world, predominantly in the global south, but all parts of the world that are completely challenged by the climate and the crisis that's happening around the world, but those younger generations. So I made a record in order to raise money, donated 100% of any money that I would make from the song to Fridays for Futures MAPA. So we're going to play that at the end as well. It's called Save the World by Jarvis Smith. If you want to grab it and put it on your playlist and play it as much as you can, every time you play it on Spotify and Amazon and YouTube and, you know, all of these places where we listen to our music, then they get paid. So please do it. Play it 10 times a day if you can. Play it while you sleep. Who cares? It's a track that will help raise money just through the system by working with the technology system that we have. Anyway, enough of me rambling. I'm going to start with just reminding you all that my company is an independent media company called My Green Pod. And what we do at My Green Pod is we talk about and have done for the last 16 years, gosh, we started that long ago, everything to do with sustainability. So if you're a walker or a foodie or a family person or a business person or whatever it is that you do in your life, there is always a sustainable or more sustainable way of doing it. From hairdressing to politicians, from bankers to the bus driver, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that we can do in our lives in order to live more sustainably. Now, my show is called Lean Into Clean. A bit of a recap on why. Lean Into Clean is an opportunity for us to do exactly that, to lean into a more sustainable lifestyle. Now, why is that clean? Because, of course, one of the reasons why we're in the mess that we're in is due to the pollution, the toxicity, and the way that we live on the planet, the way that we live on the earth. So we've used up all these amazing resources that have created energy, like oil, for example. They've created materials like the building blocks and the wood that we use for our houses. They've created, recent technologies such as the minerals and the metals in order for us to use computers and iPhones and things like that. So what's happened is we've come to a situation now where we've used up so many resources that the earth cannot replenish itself in the time that we are using these resources up. So would you believe in the UK, there is an annual, if you like, allotment of materials that we can use in order to sustain our consumption. And that, would you believe, should last 12 months. And at the moment, it's lasting until August. I think that's roughly the date. So we are essentially using up all of our materials and assets and, you know, abundance and things that we need in order to sustain the life that we live in the UK. And we are using them up just over half a year too early, just under half a year too early. So that's the problem, right? We're living in a world where we obviously all appreciate, you know, everything that we have, but the earth cannot produce the materials that we need quickly enough for it to be sustainable. So that's what this show is all about. So let's go to some news stories on mygreenpod.com. So mygreenpod.com is the website. We also publish a magazine every 2 months. We also produce the UK's leading sustainability awards called the People Environment Achievement Awards. The website is peaawards.com. I'll talk to you about that in a bit. But I was looking through our articles and we have over 5,000 articles. My wife, Katie, who's the editor, she publishes a news article online every single day. So if you really care about sustainability and you want to keep up to date with what's going on, you can actually go to mygreenpod.com. You can sign up to the newsletter. You can receive our magazine that we publish every 2 months for free digitally. And you can also get an update on news articles, which are posted up daily. So do that. If you're one of these people that, you know, wants to be a solution to this crisis that we've got with the climate, but hasn't quite yet fully understood the ways in which you can do that. Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. Then you can go to mygreenpod.com and you can get information on really any subject matter. So if you go to the site, you go into the search bar, you put in, I don't know, walking or, you know, electric vehicles or, you know, children's school or something like that, then it will give you a bunch of resources in terms of stories and information that you can read up and get more clued up and then potentially become a solution to this thing we're calling a crisis rather than a problem. So these are the news stories that I picked out today. Some of them are quite big issues. Some of them are a bit more on the personal side, but I'm going to start with this one because when you talk about sustainability, when the government talk about sustainability, when nation leaders talk about sustainability, there is this big term and it's called net zero. What that means is, in a very simplistic term, is that we need to balance the way that we use resources and the way that they can be replenished. So, of course, nature does its thing, but there are also organizations and companies and systems and sectors that also contribute to creating resources that are solutions to this thing we're calling a climate crisis and not the problem. So this is an article called Reaching Net Zero. The headline is Confidence in Net Zero Goals Plummets as Industry Faces Policy and Investment Hurdles. Now, just to be clear, before I read this out, one of the biggest issues for companies around the world in order to be more sustainable and reach that target of net zero is legislation, because often the governments around the world do not put the correct legislation in place for companies to understand exactly what the parameters are or the goals are or the guidelines are in order to achieve net zero. So what do? They don't bother because there's no official legislation in place. Now, there is the Paris Agreement. As you know, each year we have a COP event, the Conference of Parties. The next one's going to be in Brazil in November this year, which is going to be super significant because it's going to be very much about restoring nature, protecting the lungs of our planet, the Amazon rainforest, the rivers. And it's going to be a really brilliant conference. So I'll talk more about that when we get closer to the event. But here we go. Confidence in net zero goals plummets as industry faces policy and investment hurdles. So we've understood why. Energy industry confidence in reaching global net zero targets is fading as policy instability, financial uncertainty, and slow project approvals continue to hinder progress. Now, according to Net Zero Jeopardy report, it's actually the second one that's been done by the Energy Industries Council, the EIC, the trade association for the energy supply chain industry, by the way. That's what the EIC is. Now, only 16% of senior energy executives interviewed now believe the world can achieve net zero by 2050, down from 45% last year. I mean, that is catastrophic. Now, why is that significant? There's a big target that we need to stay under the threshold of, and it's not letting the temperature across the planet rise more than 1.5 degrees. Now, that's already happened. Last year was the first official year on record that the whole of the planet went to 1.6 degrees over the threshold. So it is now said that we are potentially looking more likely to be going to 2.5 to 3.5 degrees over the safety level. Now, that is completely unprecedented. And what is the reaction to that? Is forest fires, is storms, is floods, etc. So we're seeing that nearly every day now somewhere in the world. So this report, it's based on interviews, as I said, with EIC member companies, mostly based in the UK, points to growing concerns over the lack of clear regulatory frameworks, underinvestment in clean technologies, they're the renewable technologies, and delays in bringing projects to the final investment decision, the FID stage. There's a quote here from Stuart Broadley, who is the EIC CEO. He says the energy industry is facing real challenges in turning pledges into projects. Business leaders are not seeing the level of policy certainty or investment required to deliver net zero ambitions. In the UK, if the government is serious about achieving its interim targets, it needs to listen closely to what the supply chain is saying. The message isn't a very happy one. We need a lot of immediate reforms that speed up licensing processing and cut other red tape, ensure consistency, policy and regulation have the right financial incentives. Now, it goes on to say that confidence in interim net zero targets is even lower. Only 14% of respondents believe their country will meet 2030 climate goals, down from 16% in last year's report. So let me just put this into perspective. Each year, the more we know about this climate issue that we have, the more we understand it, the more science we get, the more policy that gets involved, the more countries are trying to deal with the issues, it gets worse. Now, isn't that appalling to say the least? But secondly, why is it getting worse? So I'm going to stop there with that particular report, because you can go to mygreenpod.com. It was dated on the February the 20th, so just 4 days ago. But you can go and read up on that if you really, well, not if you really care. I mean, if you want to find out more, please do, and then you can go and get a bit more clued up and start speaking to your friends and your family and your friends down the pub or friends at the coffee shop, whatever, just to really start to engage people on some of the issues. But the moral of that story is that the government is not underwriting the correct legislation in order for businesses, which have obviously have the most impact on carbon emissions, in order for them to be, if you like, reined in and committed to reducing carbon emissions and getting to that target of net zero. So what can we do about it? Well, we can challenge and write to our politicians, our local MPs, and tell them that we want more action. In fact, that is the only thing that will change this situation at the level that it needs to be. So get in contact with your MPs. There are lots of websites online where they will literally give you a letter that you can formally just very easily send into your local MP. But the more you do that, the more they have to take notice. They have to respond to you. So I'm going to move on to the next story. This one's really personal and kind of, in touch with us all. It's to do with food waste and the carbon toll of food waste. So what is carbon? Carbon is the negative impact of us using fossil fuels in order to live. And then what happens is when we use these fossil fuels, it puts carbon back into the atmosphere. As more carbon goes in, the more the temperatures rise, and that's essentially escalated to a point now where it has gone beyond any immediate return. It would take Well, we would need to reduce our carbon emissions, so our usage of fossil fuels and every aspect of that, from industry, government, individual, lifestyle. We'd have to reduce it by 50% by 2030, and then it would need to decline each year from there if we are going to do anything about it. But as I just said, unfortunately, this stuff is getting worse and not getting better. Now, there are lots of reasons why it gets worse, because we have more people in the world, we need more energy. There are lots of systems now that require the energy, the old school energy that is being currently used. There's not enough renewable energy being put into the system. We haven't yet agreed on what could be the alternatives for fossil fueled energy, although there is solar and wind and everything else. So it's a bit of a conundrum. But this story goes on to say, and as I said, this is food waste's carbon toll. If food waste were a country, check this. It would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. That's food waste. That's the stuff that we are not consuming, we are throwing away. There are no mandatory food waste reduction targets in England, despite the fact that roughly a third of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions are linked to food. Food production is responsible for 15 to 30% of the UK's total greenhouse gas emissions. If food waste were a country, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases behind China and the US. Food Cycle's mission is to combat waste and foster healthy, sustainable eating habits, which is obviously more crucial than ever for the reasons I've talked about. 70% of guests coming to Food Cycle reported positively changing their eating habits, which included eating more plant-based food, less red meat, and buying more fruits and vegetables, pulses, nuts, and seeds. A further two-thirds of guests reported thinking more about eating in a way that is sustainable for the planet, which is great. In 2024, Food Cycle, which is obviously the organization that put this content together, saved over 320 tons of food from going to waste, as well as over 200,600 emissions of CO2. There's one of the founders of the organization said, and this is in quotes, "I stop and think about what food I'm buying. Is it good for me and the planet?" says one female. Oh, sorry, this is from a female guest who's 75 years old, whose newfound love for sustainable eating stems from her time at the Food Cycle. So if you are interested in what the food cycle is, go to mygreenpod.com, check out that post, which is headlined "Food Waste Carbon Toll." Have a look what the food cycle are doing, but essentially it will give you more information about how you can combat one of these big issues, which is around food waste. So we're going to go to a commercial break here. I'll be back with meeting more news stories in a second. I look forward to seeing you on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. As you know, I'm having a little rant today about our journey to net zero, about reducing carbon emissions, about how quick we can live more sustainably. I hope you're finding it interesting. I know it's not the most exciting stuff to talk about, I do know, but actually, it is the most important. I mean, yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world, absolutely, particularly now more than ever. Our world leaders just seem to have gone completely off the agenda of caring about people and more about, well, I think at the end of the day, it's money more than anything else. But anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this climate issues that we've got, temperatures rising, how we can deal with it. We just talked about net zero. We talked about, you know, food waste being one of the largest issues because of all of the emissions that get involved in the whole food industry. This, I think, is a really beautiful story. This, again, is on mygreenpod.com. It was published on the 19th of February by my gorgeous and lovely wife. Katie Hill is the editor-in-chief and is one of the most prolific best writers in sustainability on the planet. She's been doing this stuff every single day for the last 15 years. She knows more about this stuff, I think, than any other single person on the planet. So she's really, really, really got a good insight to giving information that is bite-sized, that is digestible, and actually that you can act on. So this is called Climate Action for Schools. So I think this is a really lovely thing. Free carbon literacy training is being made available for head teachers and sustainability leads in schools. So it goes on to say, a leading climate charity campaign, Let's Go Zero, is offering free accredited online training to help sustainability leads in schools to become more carbon literate. From spring 2025, Let's Go Zero, the national campaign for all UK schools, colleges and nurseries to be zero carbon by 2030, will offer training accredited by the Carbon Literacy Project to schools and multi-academy trusts to help their head teachers or sustainability leads to gain the knowledge and confidence to steer their school's carbon reduction plans. So this is fantastic. There's a lead there. His name's Alex Green. He said, schools are uniquely placed to contribute to the fight against climate change. Not only can they take action to cut their own emissions and carbon footprints, but they have a huge role to play in educating young people about how the world around them is changing and how we can all play a part in reducing the impacts felt now and in the future. We know creating climate action plans is something schools need help with, and this is a perfect way to get both the understanding of what's required and a plan in place for the school to follow. So that's some fantastic news. I agree. I think that the education is possibly a little bit late now for us older millennials and possibly even and Gen Zs, but Gen X's, of course. But the point of this is that the younger generations are being, firstly born into a system that is in collapse, and then the younger generations that are not yet contributing massively to carbon emissions have the opportunity to understand how they can move into their adult life being much lighter, having a much lighter touch on the planet, and therefore leaning into clean a lot more. So that's kind of, I think those three news stories are pretty chunky, pretty informative, and also just giving you an insight as to the kind of content that you will get on My Green Pod, amongst other things. What you'll also get there is recommendations on products. We call them hero products. What they are is products that are the best that we can possibly find that will be better for you and the planet. The ideal thing is not to be buying anything. It's to be growing your own food. It's to be using everything that you've got until it's completely non-usable anymore, and therefore that you may consider a second-hand or a recycled purchase. But if you do need to buy stuff and you still feel like you want to contribute to the solution-based ideas rather than being a problem, then you can check out our My Green Pod page called Hero Products. There's everything there, from the best credit cards to use, the best sunglasses to wear, the best water machines, filtering systems, the best creams, the best household cleaning products. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I think there's 1,500 everyday products there, from swimwear to cling film to candles to trainers to holidays to chocolate, all those kind of. But what we've done is we've gone out and researched the best ones that we could possibly find and recommended them to you guys so that what to do if you do want to swap a product that you're currently using, realizing it's a bit carbon intensive or not very healthy for the planet, and therefore you can go and look. And you know what? If you committed once a week to changing something, some product that you use in your life, whether it's your shampoo, whether it's the cheese that you buy, whether it's the milk that you drink, whether it's the clothes that you wear, if you committed to changing one item or one product per week for a more sustainable product, that would be 52 products you will have upgraded to more sustainable solutions over the year. Isn't that cool? So you don't have to do it immediately. When you run out of something, whatever that something is, think to yourself, actually, could I buy a better version of this? Could it be packaged better? Could it be more local? Could it be organic? Could it be less toxic? Could it be buying it not from major supermarkets or major shopping platforms that don't really care about sustainability? They care about more about making profits from you. So they're the kind of recommendations that I would suggest. The other thing is, there are six, possibly seven, but definitely six major things that you can do in your life in order to live more sustainably. And they are what you put in your body, what you eat and drink. If you look at more organic versions, more locally sourced versions, more natural versions, then that is going to have a huge impact on your daily health and your daily lifestyle and your carbon emissions. Number two, what you put on your body. So what are you washing your hair with? What are you wearing? What are you cleaning yourself in the shower with, etc., etc. So have a look at those. Are they oil based, which a lot of products are? Even shampoos these days have liquid polymer in them. That's essentially oil. It's plastic and oil. So have a look at what you put on your body, and are you willing to change something? A deodorant perhaps, or I don't know. Anyway, you get some skin, some face cream, something like that. You get my drift. But go to mygreenpod.com and have a look. Put in the search bar, okay, I need a new shampoo. It will recommend a shampoo. You might look at it and go, gosh, that's expensive compared to what I'm using. But the thing you have to remember is it's cost per use. If you were, as an example, to use an organic shampoo that is naturally based without liquid polymer in it, that will wash and clean your hair, you have to use it once a week. whereas you're probably using a polymer plastic kind of shampoo, a mainstream one that you get from the supermarket or something like that will have liquid plastic in it. It means that you need to wash your hair every day because otherwise it won't feel silky and shiny. And it also means that you're putting toxicity into the water system, which goes into the rivers, which goes into the seas, which is killing killing the animals and the cetaceans and the fish and even the plankton and everything else in the sea. So, these are the kind of knock-on effects that we can personally take advantage of. So do check that out. The third one is what do you use in your home? So what cleaning products are you using? What dishwasher tablets are you using? What electrical goods and products are you using? There are certain brands that have the least toxic ingredients in them. So, for example, cleaning products. If you went to mygreenpod.com and put in cleaning products, it will recommend, and I guarantee you this, it will recommend the best, least toxic, best for use, best per cost products that you can possibly find out there in the UK. So, think about when I've used that bleach, is there an alternative that I could use instead? When I've used that multi-purpose cleaner, that washing up liquid, that detergent, whatever it might be. Also, what are you painting your house with? If you're having a spring clean, what are you kind of cleaning the house with? Is it plastic fibers, etc., etc.? So there's loads of cool stuff. So next time you go around the house and you're getting on with a project and using a product, think about what that product is, what it consists of, who it's bought from, and then just think, can I change this for something more sustainably? And then you can check out mygreenpod.com. You can put the product into the search bar, and it will recommend other products that are probably better, probably more cost-effective per use, and definitely better for the environment. Okay, so that's the next one. The next one is where do you go on holiday? How do you travel? How are you? In terms of if you are flying, are you then underwriting that flight by visiting somewhere where you're contributing to the biodiversity, or you're contributing to the local community, or you're contributing in a different way? Or would you consider getting the train on holiday, or get if you have an electric car, maybe driving, or if you need to go to on a long haul flight, if you need to go to India or Thailand or America or wherever it might be that you can't drive or get the train to, would you consider going on an eco-tourism destination? There are lots and lots of places around the world that if you go there and you're contributing to the local community, whether it's the indigenous people, whether it's the local village or town, etc., then that is a much more sustainable way to travel. So, and then the other part of that is how are you traveling from A to B? So it's not just about going on holidays, it's about how are you traveling? Are you walking? Are you running? Are you cycling? They're the best. Are you then public transporting, train, bus? They're the next best. And then if you need to drive, are you doing a carpool or a car share, or have you changed your diesel or fossil fueled car, petrol car to an electric car? That's obviously the next in the line. So consider things like that. Just be more conscious about I'm gonna very quickly pop down to the shops. Could you walk? Could you ring somebody and ask them to pick something up for you on the way home rather than you having to go out and do that extra bit of travel. So that's the next one. The following one is so we talked about how you go on holiday, we talked about how you travel from A to B. This is a big one, and actually this is the most significant shift, is how are you using your money? Where do you bank? Where is your pension fund? Is it in a sustainable impact fund? And if it's not, then why not? If you are working for a company and you have done for all these years and you are contributing to a pension, which incidentally is the largest investment funds on the planet, is that investment fund that you are contributing to a sustainable or an impact investment fund? If you don't know, go and ask your boss. Go and ask your HR person. If you are running a company, make sure that you have signed up to a pension system that guarantees you are impact or sustainable in that organization. So if you're an employee, go and speak to the boss or the department that will know about your pensions. If you are an employer, then make sure that you have the right system in place for your employees. Really simple. And now, did you know that most people think that by becoming vegan or plant-based eater 100% of the time would have the most impact on your personal sustainability carbon output? That's actually wrong. If you shift your pension fund to a impact or sustainable pension fund, it could have 75 times more positive impact on your carbon footprint and your ratio to emissions than becoming a plant-based eater. How cool is that? So there's a great organization out there called Make My Money Matter, I think it is actually. You can go and have a look at them. They do loads of recommendations, loads of cool stuff. So check out Make My Money Matter. Go and have a look. Find out where your pension is. Find out where you're contributing to. And if it's not in a good one, if it's contributing to fossil fuels or deforestation or even arms or tobacco, which is rare these days, they still do, then you can switch it. So do that. It's free to do. It will have a massive impact. You can get out of bed every day knowing that you are being the best version of yourself when it comes to sustainability by that very simple, easy act. So please, 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 please do that. The other thing is you can switch your bank account. I mean, there are some nasty banks out there. I'm not going to name them, but if you go to My Mother Tree, which is another really good website, it'll tell you the nasty banks. They tend to be the main high street ones. Why are they nasty? Because they still contribute to fossil fuels. They still contribute to deforestation, and they're heavily involved in the oil industries, because of course there's lots of money in it. I mean, we all know the stats and figures of the profits that the oil companies have made just off us over the last 3 or 4 years while we've been in this kind of energy crisis. So think about who you're banking with. You know, there are some great banks out there. The best one in the world is Triodos Bank. They are the most sustainable bank in the world. They do personal accounts. They do business accounts. I'm not an affiliate for them or anything like that. But we bank when our business could bank with them, we did. We're now with a different bank. I think Monzo are pretty good. There's some good banks out there. So, you know, just be sure that you are banking and your money's doing the best that it possibly can for helping nature. So they're the six things, six or seven things that are the keys to success when it comes to living more sustainably. I'm going to use the second part, or the third part of the show after the commercial break, to talk about some of my personal life changes that I've done, to talk about some of the ways in which I've shifted my thoughts and my activities in my life, on our family's life, and the kind of knock-on effect that that has had on, firstly, us, but secondly, the people around us. Because I guarantee you this, if you start to make changes, you will feel better about yourself, you will feel healthier, people will start to notice, you'll be radiating light and love because you'll just be, you know, just literally happier with yourself, and people will want a piece of it. That's how we change the world. So after the break, I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to play a couple of songs which are, you know, really important to me. And then you'll be rid of me. We'll be moved on to the next show. But bear with me. I'll see you after the break, and look forward to having a chat with you again very soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Here we are. Welcome back. You know what? I thought I might kick off with a song. Because this song kind of sets the tone for some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about in just this, last 20 minutes of the show. The song is by me. It was written by me when I was training with a female shaman, trained with a female shaman for 14 years, in the arts of yoga, shamanism, plant medicine. I'm talking about UK shaman, not this kind of South American, which we automatically think. She was based in the UK. Shaman simply means the wise person of the village. She was a yogi. She used sacred sound. She was the most amazing person. So shout out to Judith Selig, who was my guide and teacher for over 15 years, teaching me in the arts and practices of shamanism. I practice yoga 2 to 4 hours a day for at least a decade. I still, to this day, have a daily morning kriya practice that I do. It takes me about 40 minutes to an hour each day with meditation and breathing and all that kind of stuff. So I'm deeply, deeply immersed in this and have been for 35 years, something like that. So it's very true to me. It's very real. So I'm going to play this song. It was a song that was written through the time of my training. It's called What's It Gonna Be Now? And my band is called The Phoenix Rose. So this is What's It Gonna Be Now by The Phoenix Rose, written and sung by moi. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs on the album. It was never actually released as a single, purely because I've decided that music was no longer going to be my career and moved into becoming a sustainability ambassador instead. But that song was one of those moments where, that line, what's it going to be now? I was really saying to myself, what decision are you going to make today in order to be the best version of yourself and understand or try and be an ambassador for change? So it was that. It was that. And I've got this line in there. So, every time we sing a lullaby, it's kind of like, do we step back into trying to make everything better by making ourselves feel good about something? And that often comes through self-indulgence or consumption or something like that. Or was I willing to step away and actually take responsibility for the life that I was living? So that's what that song is all about. And as I said, it was written when I was going through my deepest decade of training with my shamanic teacher. So there's another song I want to play as well. It's a bit more uplifting. I'll try and get that in before the end of the show. But I just want to share this. Back in 2006, deep within the training that I was doing with my guide, my teacher, I was called by Channel 4. And they'd seen me, because I was a signed recording artist, they'd seen me on another TV show where we were trying to raise some money for the band. And they said to me, "We really like, you as a person. We kind of like the wackiness that you are. You talk about spirituality and training with a female shaman and, using Reiki, and I'm a Reiki master and, various other things. You seem to live in a different way. We'd like to invite you onto a TV show." And I said, "Well, what is it? Is it Big Brother? Because if it is, I'm definitely not interested." And they said, "No, it is an observational documentary. You will be sent to an extreme environment for 3 weeks with 10 other people. Can't tell you where it is, but I can tell you that it is a show that is going to highlight some of the issues around the climate change," because that's what they called it back in the day. So I said, "Yes, I'd love to. Am I getting paid? No, but there is a prize fund for everybody that makes it to the end of the show. They will receive some money." We didn't know how much it was, but so I thought, okay, can I take 3 weeks off work, not be paid, to do something for good? Yeah. So I did it. It was an observational documentary. It was by Channel 4. It was called Dumped. It aired in 2007. Now, that was the year that Channel 4 had the really bad racism issues on Big Brother. So they made this show to kind of, I guess, to counteract the negative impact that they had from Big Brother coming with a positive show. So they spent, and check this out, this is in 2007, they spent £2 million on promoting it, which is in today's money, that's about, oh, I don't know, probably 10, 15 million, maybe something like that, due to the kind of rates of inflation. So it was a big, big deal. And guess what? We had to live on a landfill in Croydon for 3 weeks with nothing. That's what I had committed to. So the show was called Dumped. The reason it was called Dumped is because they put us on a blacked out coach overnight, made us sleep at Gatwick Airport. We all thought we were getting on a plane going off to Borneo or the desert or the Arctic or something like that. Ended up, we drove around for 2 hours. The doors opened. Everybody screamed. There we were in the middle of a landfill in Croydon. Now, the show had such an impact on me. The reason being is because when I got to understand the environment that we're living in, which was, you know, a slum, you know, bearing in mind there were people in Africa and in Kenya and in India that do live in these environments and have actually turned them into industrial environments where they actually make money and make a living from them. I got my head into the space of, wow, this situation could happen to me or us at any time. There was the New Orleans disaster, which has been loads of those since. There was the tsunami, which wiped out parts of India and Thailand, you know, which kind of wrecked everybody's homes and etc. So people were literally living in the slums there. So I knew that this could potentially be a real environment. So we were there for 3 weeks. The only thing that they did do is they gave us the food that we needed in order to survive. So the first week they gave us what an average family would throw away in a year, £500 worth of food. We had an astronomical amount of food for 10 people. The second week, it was really, really badly packaged food, toxic kind of, you know, sugary type foods, crisps, donuts, stuff like that. I got so ill that second week. Not ill as in sick, but like toxic-y sick, like headachy and stuff like that. And then the third week was brilliant. We got what an average supermarket would throw away each day. It was 133 kilograms of fruit and veg. And so on this site, we built somewhere to sleep, somewhere to go to the toilet, somewhere to wash. You know, we created a solar powered shower. Sorry, not a solar powered shower, a shower that would heat up in the sun with a copper kind of thing drill. So we actually had hot water sometimes. Luckily, it was very warm that week. Sorry, those 3 weeks. So we did have a lot of sunshine. So we were able to do that. But I can tell you this, the first 3 nights, it was so disgusting in terms of smell. It was rancid that I didn't sleep because the smell, you couldn't get to sleep with the smell. It was honestly disgusting. By day four, it had become kind of, you know, easier. And by day five, it was home. And the thing about this show is the producers were our gods, so we weren't able to make any decisions for ourselves. We literally had to live under the rules and the guises of the production company. Incidentally, they did a brilliant job. So the show was called Dumped. It aired on Channel 4 in 2007. The reason I'm telling you this is because it had a massive, massive impact on my life. There was a moment on the last week, I think it was like a couple of days before we were due to end, the local dustbin truck went around the streets to collect all the rubbish and it came and dumped it on our site, literally tipped it out the back of the wagon and dumped it. We had to dress up in these overalls and gloves and masks and protective clothing. And we had to siphon through this stuff that was dumped and decide, did it have to go to landfill? Could it be composted or could it be recycled? After about 20 minutes, no joke. And you can see this on the catcher. It is available on demand. After about 20 minutes, I felt physically sick. Now, through my shamanic training and through my healing and Reiki practices, I knew how to release toxic energy in me. So I went and lied on the earth. I did this breathing technique where I release, release, release. And then what I do is I replenish my body, or I certainly did then, from the earth, drawing in abundance and nourishment from the earth's energy. As I did that, I felt like I'd been hit by a bolt of lightning, genuinely. I heard these words, how you are feeling now is how I feel. I'm sick. And I need you to help me tell people. And that was like, whoa, I felt like I'd been spoken to by Mother Nature, by Gaia, by this conscious living, breathing being that we live on and take advantage of. And so I committed to camera. And at the time I was working for a publishing company. I committed to camera that I would dedicate my life's work to inspiring, educating and informing people about what we know today is a climate crisis. We're getting very close to a climate emergency, and actually in some parts of the world that we are on red alert. So, you know, This was a massive wake-up call for me. I have gone on to launch the world's biggest lifestyle magazine, ethical lifestyle magazine called National Geographic Green. We went on to publish a magazine with The Guardian for over a decade, and that is now called My Green Pod. So this whole work that I'm doing, this whole moment of inspiration and podding and breaking you guys, is because I was asked by Mother Nature to go out and help and tell people about the issues that we now know today as a crisis. So that's my personal story. That's what I do, what I do. That's why I love it. That's why I'm passionate about it. That's why I can get out of bed every day. That's why I would really love to feel that you have been inspired by me, by the things that we do, so that you can go out and make a difference in the world today for our future generations, for our kids of today, for our, for our ancestral line. Let's do it. Please commit. So I'm going to end the show with, can I just check, Mr. Producer, could we end with two songs? If we went from one to another, would that work? He's going to give me a yes or no nod. No, I think we're going to get a no. Oh no, hold on, we got a yes. I'm going to play you a little bit of a song that I called, funnily enough, when I first wrote it, it was called Sick and Tired. It's on my album. The album is The Phoenix Rose by The Phoenix Rose. People felt that it was a bit of a negative title, so we changed the title to Come Follow Me Now. The reason I'm playing this song is it's because it's an anthem to my life. It is the soundtrack to what I'm trying to achieve in my life today. And actually, I tell you what, why don't we skip Save the World today? Because we always play that. Let's just play this song, play it out, have a listen, listen to the words, be inspired. My shamanic teacher also features on the song. There's a great rapper from America featured on the song. It's written and produced by a double Grammy Award winner, Pete Mixmaster Hammond. This is my song, A Gift to You. Come Follow Me Now. I'm Jarvis. It's been nice to be just reconnecting with you all again this week. I look forward to seeing you and talking with you all next week. Have a gorgeous week. Be the change. Be the Gandhian. Committed, be the change. Thanks very much. See you next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.